morning. It's Friday. It's another edition of the Zocchi Report, Real and Unscripted. I'm John. I'm here with my son, Jeremy. How you doing today, Jer?
Hey, how you doing, Dad?
I'm doing okay. You know, my muse today is USA Today. There was a piece overnight by the former governor of Maryland, centrist conservative Larry Hogan, very well known, about a third party. And, you know, they have this fascination every 4 years of a potential for a third party. There always is. Just like we have a fascination every 4 years for eliminating the Electoral College. Neither of them never really happened for a variety of reasons. But former Governor Hogan is the national co-chair, one of the co-chairs, of No Labels. You know, one of the proactive third party. It's been around about a decade now. And at one and the same time reading the article, I was informed by where he's coming from and what their potential could be, but at the same time reminded of the pit that every third party seems to get into every time there's such an effort. And this is one of the bigger and better efforts in a while. So let me tell you his theme. He begins by saying Americans do not want a reprise Trump versus Biden. That's true. That's at around 70%, and that's clear. And obviously, a number like that includes a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans. So it suggests strongly that there are folks that want alternatives and want to be focused on a different sort of debate, a problem-solving, consensus-building kind of debate that neither political party seems to want to run on. On the other hand, Hogan sinks into insider talk, and he spends a few paragraphs in his piece saying, and there are those out there who trash us. There are those inside the Beltway who are plotting against No Labels because they see the potential that we have for returning kind of really only insiders want. And then he sinks further into that Beltway talk about the things, frankly, and you know this as well as I do, that folks in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, Kansas, and pretty much everywhere else don't know anything about and really aren't talking about. You know, he mentions, for example, the Lincoln Project and how they're trashing No Labels and how their establishment Democrats who are trashing. And that to me is emblematic of the problems these third parties face, especially when they're not grassroots based, as we've talked about before, that they exist, I'm not going to use the term cabal, but that they exist within the minds and the conference rooms inside the Beltway and don't really have bottom up organization, structure, orientation, or even discussion just yet. And so I would suggest that people take a look at Larry Hogan's. And I also suggest take a look at 30 page or so pamphlet that No Labels has put out, which is interesting. You know, it's called Common Sense, your famous revolutionary pamphlet by Tom Paine. And yet, here we are in the summer of 2023, and what we're hearing from No Labels is same old, same old, same old. What do you think?
Wow. I mean, everything, as I was listening to you, everything I wanted to say, you covered. I think you hit the nail on the head, especially the word grassroots, that if you're going to have a third party, then it needs to be the hell away from the Beltway, right? Because where's the money coming from No Labels? Is it coming from Iowa? Is it coming from southern Missouri? Is it coming from Kansas and Oklahoma? No, I don't think so. It's coming from the same Atlantic elitist coastal elite, if you will, parties or party. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add. All that I would say is, you know, I don't, I guess, unless I'm naive here, I don't know that we really need a third party, because it has dawned on me what you need if you want something like a third party, which, by the way, the state laws and the way the whole system is set up makes it very difficult for a third party to come into existence. What you really just need is a third party like candidate, right? A candidate who challenges the orthodoxy of the party, the tendencies of their party, the tenets that they think the party no longer hold that have now gone off the rails. And yeah. And so I think, you know, why pour all this money to circumvent and short circuit the system, which is gamed against having a third party? And why not just support personalities and candidates who talk and think and behave like they would if there were a third party? That might be the more easy way to go about it. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree. And I'm bothered by the fact that if you want to change the rules and enhance democracy and the rules, you gotta walk the walk. So Governor Hogan, who's a very good man, brings up the Lincoln Project and reminding me of what's so troubling about efforts like this. The famed Lincoln Project back in 2019 was a group of really hotshot Beltway Republican consultants hated Donald Trump and decided that by raising tens of millions of dollars, what they do is produce ads that ridicule Donald Trump. The ads did that. Donald Trump lost. They, of course, took credit for it, neglecting fact that there was another party that had defeated Donald Trump and defeated him pretty handily. But the troubling thing about the Lincoln Project was that these guys made billions of dollars. In other words, they were acting as their own advertising PR company for their own effort at collecting money from donors. And what bothers me about no labels, and again, these are very good. Had Joe Lieberman on our show a couple. What troubles me here is that there are folks that are making money on this without spreading the message throughout the country. Still very much inside Beltway and big office, big production, but no people. And I think we're both in agreement about that. It's a top-down.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard through the grapevine, and look, this, you know, this isn't somebody off the street, but that the conundrum that No Labels faces is, and you could see this. I mean, just you probably go on their website and you can figure it out and couple it with the fact that you just laid out. Why aren't they in Middle America? Why aren't they pounding the pavement in Iowa? Well, it's obvious, because they're tortured over the fact of, if we do that, do we essentially take votes away from Biden and hand it to Trump, right? So they've gone through the process of you know, forming this organization, creating all this literature, a very nice website, a good message, and raised a lot of money. But what are they going to do at the end of the day? Because there's the fear that they would take votes away from Biden, which I think would be much more the case than they would take from Trump. because Lieberman and a lot of the people are from the establishment, and Trump represents the anti-establishment. So I don't think the voters who vote for Trump, who are anti-establishment, would cross over and vote for No Labels, therefore proving my point that they would more than likely take votes away from Biden or whoever it's going to be. So what do you do, right? What do you do from there? Should it then just become about getting Biden reelected? You laid everything out, and I think that's all very astute.
So we are going to have political parties. I don't see a direct Democratic, where platforms are placed online via social media and people get directly make choice. I mean, of candidates, the genius behind parties is the infrastructure. In every city, every town, every county, every state, people who are prepared to support the party during elections, more importantly, are prepared to govern once that party gets elected. And I think that's what a lot of people forget about. Of course, when you elect a Democratic candidate, kind of know who's going to be among the cabinet, sub-cabinet, who's going to be appointed to various positions, who's going to be appointed in the administration, even on some of the lower mid levels. There is a party infrastructure based on loyalty. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. So long as it's all done, with some transparency to it. But yeah, I, with all respect to No Labels, I just don't see anything coming of it or from it.
Well, the other thing, and look, this isn't generational warfare, okay?
Yeah.
Because look, we work together, and I very much respect the knowledge that baby boomers have. I'm not threatened by baby boomers. I think baby boomers, they know a history that if baby boomers were gone tomorrow, my generation probably, unless they dedicated hours and hours and hours to know all the names and all the events that boomers have lived through, that stuff would just go away with time. And so boomers have a know-how, boomers have capital, boomers have experience. But at the same time, there is the natural phenomenon of the eclipse. And No Labels very much represents that generation. And what we have are younger voters, and not just 18 to 29-year-old voters, but voters in their 30s and voters in their 40s who have issues that drive them, that don't drive those older than 60 or 65 as much. Issues that surround parenting. Even to a degree, the economy more impacts the younger voters, because boomers are probably the wealthiest generation in human history, because they've lived through more booms, and because of the opportunities of building up their 401ks and investment opportunities. That's not to say all that's going to go away for younger voters, but they have a lot of money. And the point is that there's this divergence between those under 40 or under 45 and those older. And so rather than burning down or trying to burn down the whole political system, I think what's more likely is to keep the two-party system in place, but two dynamics will change the future of politics. Not so much a third party, but as I said, third party-like type candidates who give a shot of fresh ideas to the party that better represent the upcoming generations. That's number one. And number two, more localized and more county and statewide politics, a resurgence in an interest of what is going on in my school district, what is going on in my town, village, city, what is going on in my county, and what is going on in my state, because chances are you have a lot more say and control over that. That is the real dynamic. Those are the real dynamics that can change the political system in this country much more than I think a third party could.
Well, and this third party, as you're suggesting, is based on an outmoded model, as opposed to anything that's fresh structurally, anyway. Let's shift gears for just a few minutes. There was an earthquake in Ohio this week in terms of vote on whether or not voters wanted to amend state constitution in Ohio by 60% vote as opposed to just a simple majority. The idea was pushed by conservatives and GOP leaders that currently, in order to change the constitution, it requires just a 50% vote. They wanted to change it to 60% because knowing well an effort for elements of abortion rights in November on the ballot. They didn't wanted to make it more difficult pro-choice voters to change the constitution. That effort lost, and it lost 57%, 33%, and it is another suggestion. Kansas won. Wisconsin, other examples throughout the country where the mobilized pro-choice voters are in the ascendancy right now. What are you seeing in polling suggest that this will be a critical issue?
Well, I mean, it really just comes down to what I thought and what actually played out in November of 2022, that there were bigger issues at play. Now, look, abortion is very important. Let's look at it like this. There's a small movement known as medical freedom who, fought COVID lockdowns and fought vaccine mandates. They weren't telling people necessarily don't get the vaccine. They were just saying to people, don't tell me to get a vaccine, no jab, no job. And so the analogy is those people were very much driven with intensity because they saw, to quote an old sci-fi movie, the invasion of the body snatchers. And so people who are driven by the issue of abortion view it in the very same light. You are coming after my body. The government is telling me what I can do with my body. That's a perfect analogy, by the way. And so when I poll, you can do a poll of what are the top issues that would drive, your vote on or decision to vote on election day. And if you look at all voters, abortion usually ranks about fourth or fifth. Sometimes among Democrats, it can be about second or third, although mass shootings and climate change are now, I think, above abortion. In most cases, the economy and inflation is still number one, but not always among Democrats. And so that long story short, it will always be there. But when you drill down among those who choose abortion as a top issue and you figure out which stance they take, it is heavily driven by those who say it should be legal in all instances. I mean, overwhelming majority. So just to recap that, to be clear, among those who say abortion is a top issue, we then want to know which side do they take. Do they say only in rape and incest, on the conservative side, or even more conservative than that? It's hard to imagine. Absolutely no case should rape or should abortion be legal. Or is it in every case or just, 6 weeks or whatever? That camp who select abortion as a top issue are heavily driven by those who say it should be legal in all instances, signaling there is a major intensity factor. But at the same time, we have to look at inflation, we have to look at violence, gun shootings, crime and public safety, the southern border. These are all issues that I've just named that equal about abortion, with the exception of inflation, in the vast majority of cases is much higher among voters. So it will have its place in the political landscape. among those who think it's a top issue, precisely because they think the government is coming after their body.
It'll be a driving force, I think, things continue the way they are right now. The pro-choice position give the Democrats an edge, I think, both en route to the White House and securing majority in Congress. That's my final word, and talk again next week.
Well, I mean, I'll just say, you know, maybe somebody, and maybe this is naive, but, you know, maybe somebody, like, of course, Bill Clinton did this while in office. He struck a deal, but maybe there's a candidate who could find a message that appeals to both sides. I don't know if that's possible. I'm just saying perhaps the right message could pull enough support from both camps. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Dobbs decision has turned the abortion debate once again in parodies. You're either on one side or you're on the other side, and it's intense on you. That's all right. I got to say. Okay, see you. I'll see you, Powers, but we'll see you next week on the screen. Take care.
Have a good weekend.